plan that I prosper. It's your plan that I have stuff. It's your plan that I do this. And it's easy for us to fall into that trap at the expense of his presence. Obed-Edom wanted the presence of God. Now think about this. If you don't know the story, David had tried to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem earlier, and as a result, he failed because he was doing it his own way. And that's not my message, but we know that Uzzah, one of his servants, actually touched the Ark of the Covenant. You know what the Bible says? Uzzah died because he put his hand on the presence of God. He put his hand on the presence of God. Now think about it. Everybody in Israel knew that Uzzah had just been killed by God for touching the Ark of the Covenant. And here's David. Hear ye, all Israel. Anybody interested in taking the Ark of the Covenant to your house? I don't know about you, but I would have had second thoughts thinking, man, I'm not bringing this into my house. The last guy that touched this died. And why didn't Obed-Edom? The reason why Obed-Edom didn't die is because he was a Levite. The reason why Obed-Edom didn't die, because he was a gatekeeper. And that's real important. You may want to write that down. It also tells us through historical Jewish writings and records that he was a worship leader mentioned with Asaph, the chief musician. Obed-Edom understood the presence of God, hungered for it, desired it, longed for it. He was a worshiper. He was a gatekeeper. He wanted the glory of God to be on the earth. In Psalm 114, verses 1 to 8, we find that when the presence of God invades a region, a life, a business, a home, a marriage, it doesn't matter where, ladies and gentlemen, when the presence of God invades it, all the natural elements have to bow. All the natural elements have to bow. That's why we must, with everything in us, do our very best to bring the glory and the presence of God into our homes, our personal lives. I'm so grieved. I am so grieved. And I don't want to offend you this morning, but I am so grieved. I see on Facebook Christians talking about what they're going to dress up at for their Halloween parties. Participating in the things of the world. Now, I'm not here to make you uncomfortable. Well, maybe I am here to make you uncomfortable. I don't know. But I am saying this, that how can we have the presence of God when we're participating in pagan rites and rituals? You see, we've got to take a real long look at the open heaven that we all long for. It is the gateway. And because Obed-Edom was a gatekeeper, that means he knew where the gate was. You can't keep something where you don't know where it is. You can't participate in an open heaven if you don't know where the open heaven is. And Obed-Edom brought the presence of God into his life because he was a gatekeeper. And I look at myself as a gatekeeper. I don't want to be anything else but a gatekeeper. That means I want to keep the gates open over my life, over my church, over my family, over my children. Yesterday, we as men prayed 10 specific ways for our children. And one of them is we took authority over the H1N1 virus and said it will not touch our children. You say, well, you guys prayed that and my child woke up this morning and they were sick. Listen, what or how would they have gotten up if we hadn't prayed? You see, ladies and gentlemen, we've discounted the power of prayer because we haven't seen the supernatural, spectacular, miraculous things, and we've almost given hope up in praying. We assume that we can just take them to the doctor. But oh, when we have the presence of the Lord in our homes, and we declare over our homes, and we declare over our marriages and over our children, that no weapon that was formed can come and be prosperous against us, then I believe that we are keeping the gates. We are keepers of the gate. You see, Genesis 28, verse 12, we see in this particular scripture, Jacob recognizing that his encounter with God was actually the gateway to heaven. In verse 12 it reads, then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. In verse 16 and 17, and Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Isn't it interesting that he had to come to a place of knowing before he recognized that there was an open heaven? The word know there literally means this: to perceive directly, to grasp in the mind with clarity or certainty. I'm not certain that the church really knows that we are gatekeepers in the open heaven. I don't think we really grasp the truth yet. But when we grasp it, when we get a hold of it, when we perceive directly with our mind, with clarity and certainty, life is going to change as we've known it. And life is changing as we've known it. Let me tell you something right now. There is a move of God on the earth. Hallelujah. And we are beginning to see a groundswell of the glory of the Lord like never before. I've been in this a long time, ladies and gentlemen, and I haven't anticipated this kind of excitement and this kind of energy and power in a long time. As a matter of fact, when I go backwards and I begin to equate it with what we have experienced, it pales in comparison. It's somewhat like that, but it's not with the depth. It's not with the power. It's not with the revelation. I'm telling you, we are on the beginning of an outpouring on the earth where the Bible said, His glory shall cover the earth even as the waters cover the sea. It's for the gatekeepers. It's for those who perceive directly. For those that grasp in the mind with clarity and certainty. You see, Jesus came and he spoke to Nathanael in John chapter 1 and verse 51. Follow along in your Bible. He came to Nathanael and he began to tell him. He said, here is a man with no guile. Here is a man that is so pure. We went to Matthew today at chapter 5 just a few minutes ago. And I looked down at verse 8 and it said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And here Jesus is making a declaration about Nathanael. I wish that I would have that declaration made over me. I wish Jesus would come to me and go, now there's a man of which there is no guile, no deceit. There is a man who has purity in his heart. And that's what he said about Nathanael. Nathanael was blown away. He said, you saw me under a fig tree? He said, you're blown away about that? Let me tell you something. Here's your future, Nathanael. He in essence was saying this, because you're a man of purity, this is what you can expect. Look at verse 51, John chapter 1. Please follow along. We're only going to be here together a few minutes. Stay locked in. Watch this. Verse 51, and he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open. What did he tell Nathanael? You're going to see heaven open. Why was Nathanael going to see heaven open? Because he had a pure heart. Because there was no guile in him. He tells us in verse 51, you're going to see heaven open. And he said, I'm going to tell you this. The angels of God will be ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You see, Jesus is the access to the open heaven. Jesus is the access. Because in Genesis 28, the ladder that came down from heaven and the angels that descended and ascended on that ladder don't mention Jesus, but Jesus himself gives definition to this when he tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 51 that the angels will descend and ascend upon the Son of Man. Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. Amen. Jesus said it himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. And my friends, listen, if there's healing in heaven, if there's deliverance in heaven, if there's salvation in heaven, if there's peace in heaven, if there's joy in heaven, there's only one way to access what's in heaven. Jesus said, no man can go to my Father but through me. He said, I am the staircase. I am the ladder. I am the one that comes from heaven. I am the access to the open heaven. And you will see the angels descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. When I began to consider that truth, I think, God, I must get closer to you. I must be closer to Jesus. I must know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Isaiah the prophet, the great prophet, said this in Isaiah 55, verse 8. He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord." Isn't that interesting? That the prophet is beginning to disclose to us. Remember now, go back with me. Just a minute ago, we talked about something. Jacob didn't know the gate of heaven. He didn't know it was the open place. He didn't perceive directly, not with clarity or certainty in his mind. It had to be made real in his mind. He had to become a man of understanding of what God was doing. It had to be made clear in his thoughts. And now we see that our thoughts are not God's thoughts. And our ways are not God's ways. And so if we're going to open up the windows of heaven, if we're going to open up the gateway of heaven, it's going to be through our thoughts. It's going to be through our mind. It's going to be through our thinking. Jesus tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we are beseeched by the mercies of God to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. But listen to this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and not be conformed to this world, let me ask the question, how are we conformed to this world? We are conformed to this world by the way you and I think. Our thinking will conform us to the world. Our thinking will conform us. Our thinking will attach us to the world. But be renewed, he said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now back in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, when he said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts," here's what it means in the Hebrew. He's saying, "My purpose is not your purpose." That's really what he's declaring. Not just thinking, not just random thoughts, not just daydreaming, night dreaming. He's saying, "My purpose is higher than your purpose." So now we need to be renewed by the transforming of our mind so that we can get on the same wavelength of what? God's purpose. Now stay with me as we develop this morning. Let me give you a couple of other verses that I think will help bring clarity to this entire truth. Because in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he goes on to say this, not only the renewing of your mind, but that you may prove. Everybody say, prove it.
Prove it.
See, prove it. When you tell somebody to prove it, that means they have to back up what they're saying. Prove it. And this is what Paul said. He said this. He said that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. You and I can prove what is the will of God on the earth. What is the will of God, church? It's the purpose of God. It's the purpose of God. Are you following me? Go back to Isaiah 55 and 8 in your mind. He said, "My purposes are not your purposes, for my purposes are higher than your purposes." But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is the purpose of God on the earth. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the evil one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else in here that gets excited about that word? I know my purpose. Ooh, I'm going to prove it. I live and move and have His being. There is but one purpose in my life: to prove that God is not a liar. I know it. I perceive it. This is none other than the house of God, the gateway of heaven. I know it. And that's why Paul wrote to the church of Philippi and he said this, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true," true, 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 whatever things are true. What is true but God's word? Whatever things are noble, what is noble but God's word? Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on these things. Have these thoughts become your thoughts. What he was really saying is, you become the gateway of heaven when your mind has the purposes of God flowing through it. Lord Jesus, Romans 12:2 says, see that you may prove the will of God. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, look at this verse. This is powerful. He said, he who, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what?
Stayed.
Say that word again.
Stayed.
One more time.
Stayed.
Stayed on you, because he trusts in you. He said, you're going to get perfect peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. Your life is going to be an example of heaven on earth. The will of God going to be manifesting through you. You are going to be the gateway of heaven. You're going to be like Obed-Edom on the earth. You're going to have 90 days of transformation because you are stayed on him. Your mind is stayed on him. Listen to this. The word mind, your mind means purpose. Watch this. He will keep him in perfect peace whose purpose is stayed on you. Your purpose is to stay on him. Well, what does stay mean? What does it mean in the Hebrew? It means this, to lean upon or take hold of. My purpose is to lean upon or take hold of him. I have no other purpose on this earth. I don't need to sing a song. I don't need to build a church. I don't need to have a big ministry. I don't need to write a book. I don't need to have a business. I don't need to have a money. I don't have to have a retirement. I don't have to buy a house. My purpose on the earth, my purpose is to lean upon and take hold of him. But we in America have become bored with that. We like trinkets and things that tinkle and cymbals and sounding brass. And we like all these little things that we can accumulate and put in our garage, shine up clean and pay for. But oh, come on, church. Can we leave these things behind? Can we get our purpose in our life to lean upon and take hold of him? How do we do that? Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 27, verses 37 to 40. I'm about ready to bore you. Are you ready? Okay, here, I'm going to really bore you now. Here goes. Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, why would you tell me to love you with all your soul, which is my mind, will, and emotions, and then tell me to love you again with my mind? So you're saying, love me with all your heart and with my soul, with my mind, will, emotions, and then with all your mind. You know what? I heard you the first time. Jesus said, no, you didn't hear me the first time. I'm trying to emphasize something. I'm underlining it. I'm putting an explanation point behind it. You're to love me with all your mind. You're to love me with all your soul, which is your heart, your will, your emotions. But then I'm telling you again, you're to love me with all your mind. How do you love God with your mind? When you lean upon and take hold of his thoughts, his purposes. Did you know, ladies, God has called you, and your purpose as a woman, as a mother, as a mother of a child, is to raise up a godly seed and to invest in them the things of God, even as Eunice did over Timothy, and to impart to them the power and the faith of a living God, that you don't bow and you don't break and you don't bend for anything in this world, but that you stand tall in faith in Jesus Christ. Well, I say, well, I don't like that. I'd rather go get a pedicure. I'd rather go get my hair done. I want to go shopping. I'm just wondering. I just need a break. I want to go on a little vacation. And I just need to get away from my husband because he's really bugging me lately. And lady, wake up. Some of us men think our purpose on the earth is to break 90 in our golf game. And we work at it and work at it and work at it and work at it. And as much money as you spend, as many lessons as you take, you're still not breaking 100. I heard a statistic that 85% of the golfers in America never break 100. Here we are expending all this energy to try to do something that 85% of the people will never do. When your purpose, sir, is to be a priest of your home and to cover your family and to stand in faith and in the gap between heaven and hell and say, not on my watch. But we don't like that, you know. We don't really care for that. That's kind of minimized, you know. That's not something that gives us significance. Even in the body of Christ, we don't value those things. We value people who are entrepreneurial and are rich more than we do people who are fulfilling their purpose. Oh, yes, we do. We almost look at people like that as weird. They homeschool. They don't let their kids go to Halloween. You know, they're speaking the word over them every night. They don't let them watch video games. And you really think that they're depriving their children of a normal life. That's why it's hard to find a church that's taking hold of and leaning on the purposes of God. Because everybody wants the other kind of church. It's hard to fill the seats in a church like that because, you know, I mean, come on, after all, give us a break. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. Purify my heart, O God. Let the fire burn. You see, that's what we need, isn't it? A purified heart. A cleansed heart. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, please. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus was asking, "Who do men say that I am?" You know, it's interesting where he asked this question is in Caesarea Philippi. Not Caesarea by the sea, but Caesarea Philippi on the foothills of Mount Hermon. And I've been there many times. The three little tributaries coming together off of Mount Hermon to form the Jordan River, which flows south through the Galilee. And there in that place is this huge rock where there was worship to Baal. Where many have said and argued that there was children's sacrifices to Moloch in that place. And Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" I want to know. Am I one of the options like Moloch, Baal, Asherah? Am I just like one of the many options you have to engage in? Who do men say that I am? "Well, thou sayest Isaiah's prophet, you're the Jeremiah, we're not really sure who you are." And then Peter steps up and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Oh, Peter, that is powerful. That's powerful, Peter. You received something from heaven." Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said this, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But my Father, which was in heaven, has revealed that to you." And then he says this, "And upon that revelation, upon that rock," not that rock there, where Baal is worshipped, not that rock there where Asherah is worshipped, not that rock there where Moloch received your children. No, upon that rock. What's a true rock? It's the thoughts of God in the mind of a man. And Jesus said this, "And the gates of hell will not prevail against my church." Now that was powerful because all the disciples were sitting there going, "Man, what's he talking about? This is weird. Gates of hell, rock. Let's make Peter the Pope." It's a great idea. I mean, that's what Jesus said upon him. I mean, he must be the man. My question to you, Roman Catholic friends, if he is the man, why in 6 verses was he used of the devil? Well, I didn't put that in the Bible. Look at it in your Bible. 6 verses later, Jesus was talking about going to Jerusalem. Jesus was talking about going to die for the sins of the world. And Peter comes up to Jesus and goes, "I rebuke you in Peter's name as the Pope of the church. That is not God's plan for you." And Jesus turned around and said, "Get behind me, Satan." So it must have been a rock that is not found in the earth. It's not found in humanity. It's not anything that religion can produce. It's not a rock like Molech, and it's not a rock like Asherah. It's not a rock like Baal. It must be something else. It was the thoughts of God that imploded upon Peter's thinking. And so thus we have the opportunity to receive either thoughts from the devil or thoughts from God. If you get a thought from the devil, you'll speak it. "I hate you. I wish you were dead. You're worthless. I can't stand your guts. I hate black people. I can't stand them. I can't stand Irish people. I hate white people. They're the reason for all this trouble in America." Where do you think that thought came from? God? Came from the devil. So now, you're either a mouthpiece for God, or you're a mouthpiece for Satan. Now here's how we fix it. If we got Satan thoughts, we speak them in the name of God. So we fix it. See, we fix stuff. We can fix the race issues by finding a scripture and slap God on it. Oh, we do. This whole church is built on it. Just like they tried to build a church out of Peter and did a fine job. The largest church in the world. And it's built on man. In the name of God. Now, I'm not out to offend you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. But we do the same thing in Pentecostal circles as well. We build the kingdom on men's words. Don't have time to deal with that, but let me just share with you in the last couple of minutes that I have. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So I've got to get the junk out. I've got to become pure before the Lord because I want to hear His voice. I want my mind to be filled with His purposes. So I have to pull down every stronghold. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells me to do so. "For the weapons of my warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when obedience is fulfilled." You know what the hardest thing for me to do? You know what the hardest thing for me to do? Is to believe the best about somebody. Now I'm going to have an open confession, be real transparent. After you've stabbed me in the back 4 times, talked about me, my family, stole from me and spit on me, I have a hard time believing the best about you. But the Bible said I had to believe the best. Love never fails. But God, why'd you put that in the Bible? That's hard. And so I use God. God wouldn't want me to suffer. God wouldn't want me to be like a doormat where people can wipe their feet all over me. So we put God in the equation so that we can mask Satan. When in reality, I need to repent. Or ill thoughts about another person. When they are created in the image of God and God loves them so much. And here I am condemning to hell the very person that Jesus died for. Get thee behind me, Satan. So we want to have an open heaven. You and I are going to have to fill our minds with the purposes of God. We have to lean on and take hold of, stay our minds on the things of God. You say, well, Pastor, how do you do that? I mean, come on, I'm a human being. I'm a real person. Watch this, Romans 8:28. Let's read it together because we all know this one, right? Romans 8:28, as soon as they get it up there. Here we go. Ready? Read. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. I hate that verse. There are times I don't want to hear that verse. Don't tell me that verse. You know, people, I'm going through trouble and people say, Romans 8:28, you know, God can... I say, shut up. You know, you may be operating in the spirit of the world when somebody quotes a scripture to you and you don't want to hear it. Y'all looking at me like you need to have a new election for a new pastor. Come on now. I mean, it happens once in a while. But let's go back and look at that verse again. Watch. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His what? Called according to His what?
Purpose.
If it be your purpose, God, that I suffer at the hands of this man, then so be it. Now that'll jolt your theology. King David said, don't do a thing, don't say anything, because this could be God. I don't want to find myself kicking against God. I don't want to start naming people, sending people to hell. I don't want to start doing that because this may be the hand of God disciplining me. Purpose, going back to Isaiah 55. God, I don't understand why I'm going through this hell right now. I don't understand. I don't deserve this. I tithe. I go to church. I sing in the choir. I listen to pastor's sermons. I go to, you know, come on, God.
I mean, come on! What do you want out of me?
Man, sick of this church stuff. You believe this? It doesn't take you long to find some other idiot that will agree with you. Come on. Some other Satan-oppressed, infused person to go, yeah. You know, that church over there, they're just trying to get your money anyway. It doesn't take long. You find there's so many idiots in this world, they're all full of the devil. Watch. You know, the only thing that can deliver me from me, as I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Help me with the rest of the words. Very deeply stained with sin, never to rise no more than the Savior of my soul. Master of the sea, heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else. Love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Very good. Very good. Awesome. We're going to make an album. Live at CNC. Love lifted. did me. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Deuteronomy 28, verses 12 to 13, and the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. God said, I'm going to bless you. We need what Jesus came to give. John said, I've come and I've baptized you with water, but he who comes after me, who I'm not worthy to even untie his shoestrings, he will come and baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. We need fire. We need to be purified in our hearts. We need to purge ourselves of all sin. Put my song on. We need a baptism of fire, church. We need to come before God and say, God, you know what? The way I've been doing this is not your way. I need you. I've been fooling myself, fooling everybody else. I need you. Just put your stuff aside for a minute. And don't be in a hurry to leave, because we've got some time here. Jesus said this. When you pray, pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done.
So many times, but now
in earth, as it is in heaven. She just said it. We've seen this fire many times, but we've walked by it.
Purify me, Lord.
But this time, I'm coming in. Purify me, Lord.
Burn away the things that don't please you.
Burn away the things that don't please you.
Create in me a light.
Create in me a light. Create in me a light. Create in me a light.
Overcome.
You want to be overcome today?
Let the fire burn in me, for the pure in heart will see you, Lord.
That's the only way they'll see us. Let the fire burn in me,
for the pure in heart will see you,
Lord. That's the only way. You see, it can't happen being churchy.
To be touched by the whole.
Can't happen by trying hard enough.
Coming that you do.
We have to just get in the presence of God.
And make me
say, God,
whole.
I'm undone.
Walked by
I need you.
Fire.
And I need
so
you to purify my
times.
Heart.
But now I'm coming in.
I'm coming in, Lord, to the fire. I'm coming in, Lord, to the fire.
Purify me, Lord.
Purify us, Lord.
Burn away the things that don't please you.
This is going to be the best day of your life. Make it your prayer. Make it your prayer. Yes, Lord, create in us a light. Come on, lift up your hands, church. Lift up your hands. Worship Jesus.
Fire burning me for the pure and heart will see you, Lord. I want to
strife, any prejudice.
Baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Baptize us in fire. Baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Baptize us in fire. Baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Baptize us in fire. Baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Baptize us in fire.
Bring it down a little bit, Micah.
Fresh.
Let the fire, Father, begin to fall fresh in this house. Lord, like Obed-Edom, we desire, oh God, to bring you into our house. We don't just want to come to your house on Sunday. We want to bring you into our house. And Father, we want to burn. We want your thoughts to be our thoughts. Your purpose to be our purpose. We would keep our minds stayed on you and you alone, God. Jesus, today we willingly walk into the fire that you are pouring out upon this earth. Let your fire fall. Let your fresh fire fall in this place today, Lord. Up again, brother. Come on, baptize me. Ask the Lord this morning. Don't miss this opportunity. Ask God to baptize you
in the Holy Spirit.
Baptize you in the fire.
The altars are open. You can make your way out from where you are to the altars. They're open.
Wave after wave after wave.
That's what we want, Jesus. We want to be completely immersed in your presence. We want to soak in you. We want the Holy Spirit to baptize us. We want to drive out all of us where there's nothing left but you, Jesus. Church, can we stand to our feet? Cry of our heart today, Jesus.
I want to burn for you.
That every cold heart would burn. That every child cold heart would burn. That every father's heart would burn. That every mother's heart would burn. That every grandparent's heart would burn. God, that a generation would catch on fire, that it would begin to burn perpetually through this culture that runs against what you've come to do. We declare today, let it start. Let it start right here in this room. Let it start right here at 4125 Levitt Road. Let a blazing fire begin to burn through the sin of America, the sin of the nations. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost begin to
to burn throughout this congregation. Let it be said that on this day, November 1st, 2009, that there was a group of people that let go of themselves, that stood up and allowed themselves to catch on fire for what the Holy Spirit wanted to do, not only in their region, but in the world. Let the fire begin today. Let a generation set themselves a torch and a blaze. Let them let go of the luxuries of the place of called America. Let them let go of the pleasantries of sin. Today, burn it up. Burn it up, Holy Spirit. Because we're not satisfied.
I wanna burn.
We've tasted of it, Lord. We've tasted of the world and it does not satisfy. None of it satisfied. We looked at it. We've reveled in it. We've played with it, but it doesn't satisfy. We need our purpose to be yours. We need our dream to be yours.
We want to see.
There are some of us who don't have one. We need it to be yours today.
We want to see. Blessed are. Blessed are. Blessed are.
Hallelujah.
Pure in heart.
Make our hearts pure, Lord. Give us a selfless agenda. A selfless agenda. Give us the agenda of heaven for the earth. Make our minds ready in a moment's notice for what you want to do in the earth. If you need prayer today, church, we believe in miracles because that's what the kingdom's come to bring. If you need healing today, we not only believe in healing, we've watched it happen. We've watched the dead be raised. We've watched the sick be made well. We've seen it happen. So I tell you today, if you're sick in your body, I tell you today that the prayer of the righteous avails. I tell you today that if you're having strife in your family, I tell you today that I've seen the peace of God triumph over bitterness and strife. I don't just say that. Empty words are not just coming out of my mouth. I've seen it. Have you not seen it, church? I want you today to know today that if you need prayer, if you need a miracle, we not only believe it, but we know it down inside of here. And so altar ministers, if you'll come now, just kind of weave in and out of those who are here at the altar. Don't disturb. You don't have to get up. If you need prayer, we want to pray for you. We want to bring deliverance to you. There are some that are tormented in here this morning. You are tormented by perverse spirits. You're a man. And that, it just torments you. And I'm in your business right now. And you messed around with that stuff. And now it's tormenting you. And it won't let you go. And God wants to deliver you today. In just a few minutes, we're all going to bow our heads. We're going to let you come from where you are to this altar. I shared with a gentleman yesterday. It was a test conducted. These guys got together and they said, hey, let's have this big convention and let's invite all the preachers, all the pastors. Let's invite them and let's let them know that we're going to talk about the issue of pornography. And let's let them come. Let's invite them. And then let's monitor the web activity and let's monitor what they put on their TVs when they're in their hotel rooms. This is what they found out the next morning. That 90% of those pastors and those preachers were looking at pornography. And so we would be silly to say that there are men in this room. We would be foolish not to say, look guys, just be set free from it. Just be delivered from it. Stop ignoring it. God wants to set you free from it. And if you'll let him do it this morning, he'll do it. But it's up to you. Just one decision. You can come forward for prayer. Let's close our eyes now, church, and allow the Holy Spirit to do its work. Holy Spirit, lead and direct, heal and mend. For those who need healing today, we declare that you are the healer. For those who need deliverance today, we declare that you are the deliverer. We're not just saying it, we know it, God. We declare it to be so in this room, all over this room, God. Heal, set free, deliver, make alive again those who are dead, those who have died in you, God. Those who have grown cold on you, God. Catch them on fire now, God. Let them not be complacent and comfortable any longer. Don't allow them, God. Don't allow them to be comfortable in their condition, God. We just declare conviction upon you. Conviction upon you. Touch your neighbor right now and just declare conviction be upon you, because conviction will lead to salvation, and salvation will lead to the deliverance of the world. We just declare it today. We're no longer satisfied, God, that we just come in and come out. God, we want a burning fire to be here forever. So we commit this service to you. We commit this family to you. We declare, God, that this congregation here at Church on the North Coast loves you with all of their heart, all of their mind, and all of their soul. We declare today that it is your day. We love you and we bless you. We give you glory. And if you should need prayer, the altars are open. And we want to help you. Touch God this morning. We're going to stay in this atmosphere of worship. I want to let you know that everyone's invited to stay. Find your way to a table. Five tables in each corner. Just find your way to a table. Take your coat off, set your things down, and just begin to have fellowship with one another. There are pizzas available this morning. We bought them. Now let me tell you something. We bought these pizzas for $4, but we'd like to sell them for $10 because we're going to give all of the money to Uganda. So if you can pay $10, we'd like to sell it for $10. But if you can only pay $4, God bless you, the pizza's $4. Don't forget Thursday nights, but find your way to a table. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Amen.